Thank you, Lord. Okay, does anybody have any prayer requests or would like to pray about something?
I have two prayer requests and a testimony about answer to the prayer that we prayed several weeks ago.
Okay.
So I'll tell you the prayer, answer to prayer, that, you know, the fellow that was 85 that had the brain surgery and didn't know me when I was there last, and then you all prayed again. I visited him again. His brain, he knew who I was. God had just totally worked him over. So praise the Lord for that.
Praise God, yeah.
Now, I would like to have, I had a call from Billings, Oklahoma. That's farmland country. They're needing rain. And so if we could pray for rain for that part of the country, for the wheat. And also, I'd like for prayer for my cataracts to be to disappear in Jesus' name.
Oh, okay, well, quit calling them yours. They ain't yours. They belong to the devil.
That's right. I agree.
Well, in the name of Jesus right now, we come against this spirit of cataract in Jesus' name. We command it off of Linda's eyes in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that Linda's eyes are healed, totally restored. And we praise you, Father, for doing laser surgery, doing God's laser surgery on her eyes in Jesus' mighty name. We praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing in her eyes right now, even as we speak. And Lord, we also... we know that they're trying to gear all the rain from over there to over here. Father, we just ask and we pray that you confound the wise by giving rain to is it Billings, Oklahoma?
Yes, farmland.
Yeah, in the farmland country of Oklahoma, Lord, and we praise you for that. And we're looking forward to seeing rain there very soon, quickly. And we praise you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for about 3 inches of good, long, soaking rain there, Lord, that would just soak that farm ground up, Lord. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Amen. All right. Anyone else?
Hey, Michael?
Yes. Go ahead, Lakeisha.
I just wanted to confess this sin and get prayed over that God will... deliver me from it completely and keep me delivered.
Okay.
I was coveting, and I guess that's also the same as I thought idolatry, and I just repent of that and just want prayer over me.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you for your repentance and your grace upon Lakeisha, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that she has confessed that sin and now she is to be blessed, and we praise you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. All right, anybody else? I talked with Michael Montana yesterday, and they're still out and about. Matter of fact, they were in San Francisco yesterday, and they don't know when they're coming back. But they're just going as the Lord leads them and just having a marvelous time with him, with the Lord. And so, Lord, I'd just like to lift up Michael and Angie to you, Lord, and thank you for blessing them, Lord, with your anointing. And, Father, we ask that you lead them the whole way and that you bring people before them that you want brought before them so that they could testify to your goodness and your glory and your grace, Lord. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And bring them home safely too, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Father, place it in their heart to come see us down here in Tennessee. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. All right. Anyone else? Okay. Everybody good to go on the prayer issue, huh?
I have something, Michael.
Okay, Missy.
It's like a confession and a prayer combination. I'm not sure who it was. I think it might have been Terry. About, she said that she had gotten rid of her glasses thinking that if she got rid of her glasses, the Lord would heal her rather than believing that her eyes are already healed. And when she said that, I just like, I'm like, that just like convicted me. And it's been a while since I have gotten rid of my glasses, and I'm like, because I had to stop and think, you know, what was the whole situation behind that, and you know what my thoughts were and everything then, and I don't really remember a whole lot necessarily of what I was thinking, but it was just like the Lord said to me, "That's what you did," you know, and I just wanted to confess that I really don't remember exactly what my whole thought process was when I did that. But anyway, so yeah, so I needed to confess that, and you know, and I'm believing, you know, and for quite a while I've been believing that my eyes are healed, but I think when I did that, I don't think I did it the right way. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Well, Father, we thank you for being able to confess to you, Lord, and we ask that you bless Missy with her eyes in Jesus' name. Thank you for restoring her eyes in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else? Yeah, go ahead.
Not just my vision, which. I hate to say this, but there's another problem with my eyes, that I lack moisture in my eyes, and I know that has an effect on my vision too. But anyway, so I'm believing that the moisture in Jesus' name is in my eyes is what it's supposed to be, and that they're healed in that respect too in Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else? We got a good God that'll heal, deliver, and set free any and everybody that believes.
Hey, Michael, I'll share something.
Okay.
I had a little trial today, and really what I'm seeing is when we go through trials, we're always tested after we get through that trial, we always get tested to make sure that we've learned, you know, or we've overcome, or, you know, whatever you were dealing with in that trial. So I had a situation. I've got a property up in Ohio, and I had gotten an offer on the property, and I was talking with the realtor, and I just want to pray favor over that, but we'll come back to that. But then right after I found out about that, I get a call from the tenant in the property saying that the drain in the basement has got raw sewage coming out of it. And when I sold my house, you know, 4 years ago, I had an offer on the house. And when they inspected the house, the septic system failed, and it you know, basically killed the offer on the house, and it ended up costing me a bunch of money. So right after I get this offer on this property, I find out I got raw sewage coming into the basement, and you kind of go back to that trial 4 years ago. And you know, I was getting pulled in thinking the worst, and I had my eyes on the situation and not on the Lord. So because I went through that 4 years ago, it was like that's where my focus was, and I had to just get my focus back on the Lord, that the, you know, God is sovereign, that you know this is going to work out. So That was the one thing. So I would just like to lift that up. And so Father, right now I just there's been an offer on the property, Lord, and Lord, if this is the person that's supposed to buy this property, I just ask favor in the situation, and I just come against the enemy from stealing, from distracting, from just bringing any issues as far as on that property. And Lord, I just ask favor as far as with this person's financing, with anything that might hinder the sale of the property, because Lord, we would just like this burden off our backs, and Lord, but we want to be in your will and be in your timing, Lord. So Father, if this is the person, we just ask for favor in this whole transaction, Lord. And Father, we just speak to that sewer, whatever's going on, and we call it not to have any complications. We call it to be just totally fixed, totally healed in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just repent for getting pulled into seeing things in the natural and seeing things in the past and looking back and not looking forward towards you and your sovereignty and your power. And I just repent of that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anything else? All right. Anyone else got a prayer request or would like to pray about something? You know, we got a bunch of people with a lot of faith here, and it's the time to, if you got some prayer needs, right now it's the time to do it.
Hey, Michael, let's go ahead and pray for Sandy.
That'd be a good idea.
Right now. You want to pray for her?
I can. Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we praise you for Luke 10:19. It says we have authority over all the power of the enemy. And in the name of Jesus right now, I come against that spirit of infirmity that's attacking Sandy, and I command it to go right now in Jesus' name. I command the fever to cease. I command every symptom to go in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for restored health in Sandy. Matter of fact, Lord, we just thank you for complete restoration of her whole body. In the name of Jesus, and we praise you, Father, that that's what's being done. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
All right, anybody else? All right. Okay, has anybody got anything they'd like to share? Anything, any kind of comments or testimonies or praise reports? Right now is the time.
Yeah, Michael, I have a praise report. Prayed for my sister and our sister-in-law last week, and they both had their operations, and they removed a cyst from my sister. It was the size of a cantaloupe, and it turned out to be no cancer, and that was a blessing. And,
awesome.
And our sister-in-law, she has stage 4 cancer, and she's getting along, you know, as good as you can expect for what she's got, and we're just believing, speaking against the cancer, and been praying with her. So I just praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers.
Perfect.
All right. Anybody else? Anybody got anything they'd like to share? Any praise reports, testimonies, or just the word that the Lord's given you? All right. What's going on here with y'all? Everybody snowed in? You ought to be getting cabin fever. Ought to open up now. Come on now. Glory to God. Well, all right. I'd like to share a little bit of something that I ran across. Y'all need to go ahead and mute your phones. Go ahead and mute your phones unless you're going to say something. All right. I'd like to talk a little bit about the deeper Christian life. And I'm getting a lot of this from Andrew Murray's same thing. It's called A Deeper Christian Life. And it's got a lot of meat in it. It's actually just talking. And I saw it and I looked at it and I was reading it. And man, I said, this is what we need, you know, in a lot of ways. It might help some of you out there. Is the first and chief need of our Christian life, of course, is fellowship with God, right? And that life, somebody needs to mute your phone. Let's see here.
That was me, Michael.
That you, Wade, I'll get you. All right, thank you, Wade. And that divine life within us comes from God. And it's entirely dependent upon God. You know, as each one of us needs every moment of fresh air to breathe, we need that direct communication with God in order for our souls to be strong, too. That's every day. The manna of one day was corrupt when the next day came, wasn't it? And we, every one of us, needs to have that, every day, have that fresh grace from heaven. And the only way we can get that is to obtain it in direct waiting upon God himself. And we need to begin each day by tearing before God and letting him touch you, and to take time to meet God. We need to let that first act when we first get up in the morning is that devotion of setting yourself still before God. Be still before him. Let him talk to you in prayer or worship. Everything depends upon God taking that chief place. We need to bow quietly before him in humble faith and adoration, speaking within our heart, okay, God is here, God is love, and longing to communicate with me. That's by faith, right? That's God the Almighty One who worketh all in all.
Ooh.
He's now waiting. Don, I'll get you. Okay. Who worketh all in all. He's now waiting to work in me and to make himself known. He said to take time till you know God's near. Take time. Sometimes we just want to talk to God and we don't want to listen. When you've given God that place of honor and glory and power, we need to take that place of lowliness, that humbleness, and seek to be filled with that spirit of humility, don't we? And we need to be nothing before God, and that God would be all in us. And you know, as a sinner, we're not worthy to look up to God. We need to bow in self-abasement. But as a saint, we need to let God's love overwhelm us and bow you still lower down. We sink down before him in humility, meekness, patience, and we surrender to his goodness and his mercy. And you know what happens? Then he will exalt you. Then he will exalt you. Take time to get low before God. Take time to listen to God. Then accept and value your place in Christ Jesus. God delights in nothing but his beloved Son, Jesus. And he ain't going to be satisfied with nothing else in those who draw nigh to him. We need to enter deep into God's holy presence in the boldness which the blood gives, Jesus' blood, and in the assurance that in Christ, you are most well-pleasing. In Christ, you're within the veil, aren't you? You have access into that very heart and love of the Father. And that's that great object of fellowship with God, that we might have more of God in my life, and that God may see Christ formed in me. That's what we ought to be working on. Be silent before God. Let him bless you. And he will. Glory to God. This Christ, you know, is a living person. He loves us with a personal love. And he looks every day for our personal response of his love to us, to him. Look into his face with trust till his love shines into your heart. Make his heart glad by telling him that you do love him. He offers himself to you as a personal savior and keeper from the power of sin. That's awesome. Don't ask, can I be kept from sinning if I keep close to him? But the question you ought to be asked is, can I be kept from sinning if he's always keeps close to me? And then you can see at once how safe it is to trust him. We have not only Christ's life in us as a power, and his presence with us as a person, but we have his likeness to be made into us. He is to be formed in us so that his form or figure, his likeness, can be seen in us. We need to bow before God until you get some sense of the greatness and blessedness of the work to be carried on by God in you this day. Start out each day like that. Say to God, Father, here I am for thee to give as much in me of Christ's likeness as I can receive. And then wait on him to say, my child, I give you as much of Christ as your heart is open to receive. The God who revealed Jesus in the flesh and perfected him will reveal him in you and perfect you in him. The Father loves the Son, and he delights to work out his image and likeness in us. Count upon it that his blessed work is going to be done in us. And as you wait on the Lord and hold his fellowship with him, that likeness to Christ consists chiefly in two things. That's the likeness of his death and resurrection. Romans chapter 6 and verse 5. The death of Christ was the consummation of his humility and obedience. The entire giving up of his life to God. In him, we're dead to sin, aren't we? As we sink down in humility and dependence and the entire surrender to God, the power of his death works in us. And we are made conformable to his death. And so we know him in the power of his resurrection, in the victory over sin, and all the joy and power of the risen life. So every morning, present yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. And he's going to maintain the life that he gave, and he's going to bestow the grace to live as risen ones. And all this can be in the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, right? Count upon him to glorify Christ in you. Count upon Christ to increase in you the inflowing of his Spirit. And as you wait before God to realize his presence, remember that the Spirit is in you to reveal the things of God. Seek in God's presence to have the anointing of the Spirit of Christ so that your whole life, every moment, be led by the Spirit. And as you meditate on this wondrous salvation and seek full fellowship with the great and holy God and wait on him to reveal Christ in you, you're going to feel how needful that giving up of all is to receive him. Seek grace to know what it means to live as holy for God as Christ did. And only the Holy Spirit himself can teach you what an entire yielding of that whole life to God can mean. Wait on God to show you what you don't know. Let every approach to God and every request for fellowship with him be accompanied by a new, very definite, and entire surrender to him to work in you. By faith, must hear, as through all scripture and all spiritual life, be the keynote. As you tarry before God, let it be in a deep, quiet faith in him, the invisible one who is so near, so holy, so mighty, so loving, in a deep, restful faith that all the blessings and powers of the heavenly life are around you and in you. We need to just yield ourselves in the faith of a perfect trust to the ever-blessed Holy Father to work out all God's purpose in us. Begin each day thus in fellowship with God. God will be all in all to you. Amen. I tell you what, when I went over these things and reflected on how sometimes we get in a big hurry to get up and go do whatever it is we always do, but the best thing to do is to get up early enough to be quiet and let the Lord speak to you and get present with him and allow him to be on the throne for you and allow him to guide us in these day-to-day things that we're going through. I know every one of you probably are going through some type of trial. And right now is the time we need God the most to get rid of these. God's filtering all of us. He's given it, every one of us. Tim had a test. I've had tests. David's had tests. We've all had tests. And we're still going through tests. God is perfecting his saints. And that's why we need to get real still first thing in the morning and allow God to lead rather than, and I'm going to use myself as Michael to lead. I don't need to determine what I need to do this day. I need to allow God to determine what I need to do. And we all need to do that. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead each and every one of us in everything we do. That's what we ought to be attaining to, is to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us every step of the way. It's when we get into self-works that we mess up. Self-works will do it every time. I know I've done it too many times, but we're learning. God is teaching us along the way, and he's doing it in a graceful way. Well, I thought I'd just share that with you and see if we had any comments on that.
Hey, Michael.
Hey.
Yeah, I just want to kind of confirm what you're saying is, in the last, I don't know how long it's been, but I've asked the Lord just to wake me up, and when I get up, I go and get quiet with him, and sometimes he wakes me up real early. And, you know, I mean, the other morning, I think I got up about, 5 o'clock or something, and I'll just come out and sit down and just kind of get quiet with the Lord. And I'll just sit there quiet and I'll, say good morning, Father, and just kind of, a lot of times I'll just sit there and see if he puts anything on my heart to pray for. And sometimes he puts people on my heart to pray for, or situations on my heart to pray for, and I just kind of pray about that. But other times, when I get up, I might be troubled about something, or there might be a heaviness or something going on. If I'm not in the rest, if I can't just sit there and just sit quiet and have nothing on my mind and just meditate on the Lord, if I've got other things on my mind that are bothering me or whatever it is, I need to address those first. And sometimes those are just distractions, or maybe there's something in me. Maybe there's some, criticalness or whatever it is, or, a situation. So I just take that and I give it to the Lord. And, because he's got to grant us a repentant heart. And I just ask the Lord just to take those, take that situation, or I just pray for, that situation, or whatever it is, till I get back into the rest, or I get back into the peace. So I just, any vain thoughts that come in or anything like that, because sometimes when you're trying to press into the Lord, the enemy will try to come in and just start throwing thoughts, something to do, get on the internet, something to look up, whatever it is. And a lot of times it's just distractions, or those thoughts are coming that are just totally drawing you away from, getting your mind on the Lord, and you just have to just cast those down. And I'll just sit there till I just get into a peace with the Father. And then I'll, whatever he puts on my heart, I pray for. And then I might ask him to, I might pray in the Spirit for a little while, and ask him, what he wants to show me that day as far as in the Word. And I ask him to open up my spiritual eyes and just kind of guide me in his Word. And I just let him guide me. And I just might open the Word by faith and put my finger down and just start reading what he showed me that day. And I do that before I get into any Bible studies or anything like that. I try to just put the Lord first in the morning. And it's an awesome way to start your day off. If somebody is working, just set the alarm an extra half hour to an hour early and just spend that time with the Lord. And he'll grant, as far as, sometimes we think we need 8-10 hours of sleep, but if you get up and you spend that time with the Lord, he'll grant strength or whatever you need, just because you put him first. So it's really blessed me where I won't start my day until I'm just kind of in the rest with the Lord, and then the whole day goes much better. So when you're sharing that about fresh grace and getting still before the Lord, I've been just trying to do that, and it's pretty awesome. If you can, if you can get quiet, not have any thoughts on your mind, and just meditate on the Lord, and or get to that place where you can, it just really makes the day start off. And then even getting into the Word and the guidance and that, it's just awesome. So I just wanted to kind of reflect on what you were sharing.
Amen. One of the biggest hindrances that I do the same thing, Tim, basically. But, those thoughts come into your mind. Well, you need to get up and do this, or you need to get up and do that. Get up and look up this, or get up and look up that on the internet. And if you give in to that, you've just lost the day's manna. And that's what I found in my path, is just overcome those thoughts to get up and do this, or to get up and do that. That's the enemy. That's all that is, the enemy trying to get you distracted from the Lord. All right, anybody else would like to share how their quiet time with the Lord is?
Hi, everybody. This is Famika.
Hey, Famika.
Hi. I'm glad to hear you touch on that subject, because the past 2 weeks or so, the Lord has been waking me up around 4:44, and I have a difficult time getting up, I'll be honest with you. And so just this morning, I turned over and went back to sleep and didn't wake up until after 6. And I was like, God, I really want to start waking up when you call me to fellowship with you. But I don't know. I think that was Tim that just made the previous comment.
Yeah.
Thank you for making that comment, because it really helped me a lot to really just be diligent to get into prayer, because it seems to be the most, it doesn't seem to be, it is the most important part of my life. Like, sometimes my flesh does not feel like praying. And when I get into prayer late, my flesh, I can hear my flesh saying, oh, I don't feel like it. But when I get into prayer, I realize that it was just my flesh, the devil, all of the above. But once I'm in prayer, it's like I never want to come out, because I hear the concerns of God's heart. And the prayer is the one key thing that's really changing my heart and changing me, just to hear what's important to God's heart. And I used to pray with I used to approach prayer like with the things I thought God wanted to hear, like, oh, God, thank you for today. You're so holy. And, I have heard God tell me even today, like, okay, like almost like, are you finished? Because now you can really talk to me. And I thought it was funny, because I was going to go through this whole discourse as I want to show respect and reverence to God. And he stops me. And it's like, no, like he puts on my heart, you could really talk to me. And I really did. I was like, God, it's, my heart is a little bit heavy today. And, I have some things on my mind. And I just began to talk to him, just like you would talk to your closest friend. And the next thing I know, I just was in the spirit, and the Lord was speaking back to me about his heart, his concerns, and reminding me of his word that we can cast our cares upon him, because he cares for us. And, whatever the heaviness was about, I don't know, I just had a very sobering time in prayer, really concerned about the saints in these last days, because God shows me his love and his delight in his people. And really just showing me that he's very concerned about me. His love is great for me, and also putting a love in my heart for the church, his people, to pray for the church and pray for many people. And, I don't know, just the Lord, just in prayer, just how his heart is, to be able to hear his heart, to me is amazing. And I just thank God that you all are touching on that subject. But pray for me that I don't know what I need. I guess I just need to get up out of bed, but it seems so hard when I see those numbers on my clock. It's like 4 or something. I'm like, oh, 5 more minutes. And it seems like I'm so heavy with sleep. But I know that God knows all things, so I would just try again to, you know, really force myself to get out of that bed, but it seems so hard. So just keep me in your prayers.
Amen. Amen. Lord, we just thank you that everybody here that has trouble getting up in the mornings, Lord, that you would just wake them up with a bounce in their walk and a smile on their face, Lord, because they know they're fixing to listen to you. We thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. That deep heaviness that comes on people, we command it to go in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for getting all these sleepy heads out of there. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. You know, some mornings, I'm an early. Yeah, I'm an early getter upper anyway. I've always been liking to get up early in the morning. So it's not much of a problem for me, except on these cold mornings when it's snowing outside. But now it's worth it once you get up and get in the Lord. And he starts talking to you and starts sharing things with you. And it's just awesome. Anybody else with some experiences I'd like to share about getting on with the Lord? Well, hey, Charlie, do you have anything you'd like to share? Charlie's got a wealth of knowledge. He's a Bible student.
Hey.
Hey, brother.
I had the thought about Luke chapter 14. I was looking at that when you hollered at me. And, you know, it was talking about when somebody invites you to a wedding feast, that you don't go in and you take the high seat. You know, that's like exalting yourself, or you're wanting everybody, you know, to look at you. And he said, but when you go, he said, you take the lowest seat so that he that invites you will say, friend, I like that, friend. Come up higher, and he put you in a higher position, a higher seat. And then the next verse, he says, humble yourself, you know. Don't exalt yourself, but humble yourself. And he said, and the Lord will exalt you. Anyway, I was just reading through there, and I thought that was a similarity of what you just read out of that guy's book. And I thought it was really good.
We can't hear you, Michael. Who are you talking, Michael or Michael here?
He was talking to me, I guess. I was sitting there talking.
Hi, Michael here.
I was sitting there talking with my headset muted. So, hey, Michael, good to have you on tonight, brother. We've been talking about getting alone with the Lord first thing in the morning and allow him to dictate what we're to do that day. And to get quiet and listen to him first thing, Michael. I don't know if you heard any of that or not, Tim's testimony or the things that I shared. But that's what we're talking about. And people are giving their testimony about what God's doing in their life, in their prayer life. So if you've got anything you'd like to share, you know.
Well, I'll just share a little bit. We've been in a lot of different kind of contexts. We've been in the Bay Area. We're still there right now. And I agree with what you're saying as far as, you know, the Lord Jesus. I find it interesting that the Lord Jesus, the most capable of all human beings that ever walked on the earth, and I say human in the sense that he took on the form of flesh, yet he did nothing. He says, I do nothing of myself. The words I speak, they're not my own. The Father works hitherto I work. And the Lord Jesus Christ would go out and spend all night in prayer before he'd go out and do anything. And I'm just amazed, not only at everyone else's heart, but my own, of how capable we think we are of doing things without God or doing things in our own strength without even realizing that, you know, when the Laodicean people said, thou sayest, the Lord said of them, thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. That's an attitude. It's not oral words, but they said they're just a self-sufficient attitude. You know, I'm rich. I'm doing fine. I don't need anything. And but I just we're just overwhelmed right now with the spirit that we're seeing. I don't know if it's in just the big cities or in California and Oregon, but we have encountered such a spirit of compromise as we've never encountered before. I mean, unbelievable. And I mean, these are dear people, dear brothers, But the bar is coming down, down, down to where what people are calling the unity of the spirit is just the lowest common denominator. You know, if we can all just come to a place, we all believe in God, that's good enough. We're all in unity of the spirit. And I'm just appalled, you know. People, Angie went with a sister to a Bible study today, and the woman said, there's nothing in the world you can do to offend God, nothing at all. And it doesn't matter. He's never ever rebukes. He never ever, you know, he should not offend it at anything, and he just forgives everything, no matter what you're doing or not doing. And just appalled, you know. And that's been what we've been kind of running into left and right with people down here, and just going, man, what kind of theology is this? You know, instead of becoming more, and people that are literally offended at the concept of the fear of God. What are you talking about? Fear, daddy, not fear, God, you know. And we're just kind of grieving for the people we're seeing down here, you know.
Well, I think that's going on everywhere. I noticed the other day in a news, I forget the name of the guy, he's got some big mega church that he was on Oprah Winfrey, of all things. And I think she has her own network. Anyway, he was on there saying that it's just going to be a little bit before all the churches accept homosexuality in their churches. You know, it's just going to be a little while. Well, I got news for him. It's not everybody's going to accept it. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong, and they need to repent. But that's where we're going. That's where we're headed. Compromise.
I believe that was Rob Bell, wasn't it?
His name. That's who it was, yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, here in Atlanta, I was reading an article this morning where they're opening a private school just for gays, transvestites, homosexuals, and all that, so that when they go to the schools, they, you know, not put down or condemned or anything like that, but they're going to have their own private school now here in Atlanta. And I was thinking about that today, and I was telling the father, I said, Father, honestly, I just really, really don't want to live in Atlanta anymore.
Yeah, you know, I got in big trouble for speaking negatively about the Catholic Church. And this is to people that profess to be spirit-filled. And they're saying, the Pope is a really a great guy. We like this guy. He's got a, you know, these things aren't like they used to be. The Catholic Church is making some positive changes, and don't be critical of the Catholic Church. And I'm going, hey, brother, what part of evil do you want us? You know, if the root is corrupt, the tree is corrupt, and that ain't gonna go away, you know.
Amen.
But I'm finding that Angie and I are not being very popular down here.
Well, when you take a stance for Christ, Michael, as you're probably finding out, that you're going to be separated from them. They're not going to like you. They're not going to like you. I found that out, still finding it out. When you stand up for what Christ is all about and the tenets of the Christian faith, they're going to come against you.
Yeah, the lady at the house we're staying at, she has a saying that she has developed here, you know, talking about washing one another's feet, which is a very good thing in context. But she says her motto is warmer water and softer towels. That we just anything that's not offensive, to never, you know, just love. Love, love, with a funny definition of what that means. It means to never offend, to never speak out in a way that would in any way cause somebody's flesh to be offended. We should never offend anybody under any circumstances, and that's love. And Angie and I are finally just saying, hey, I think we need to just draw a harder line than we ever did.
Amen. You know, we've gotten a lot of times verses just here recently on the watchman in Ezekiel 3 and 33. And if we don't tell them, you know, their blood's on our hand. So now the blood's on their hands. But you want to try to be weak to the weak. Not to the extent that it compromises, but to the extent that you could draw your brother into the truth. Sometimes they just don't want to hear it. A lot of times they don't want to hear it. But you know what it's going to take? It's shaking, I believe, to get a lot of them out of that. God is love. And he is. God is a God of love. And he loves you so much, he's going to spank you if you don't adhere to the, you know, what his commands are. Okay. Anybody else?
Well, I think what Michael is experiencing out there in California is the great falling away. You know, we think that it's going to be a shaking and a great falling away, but the church is falling away right now as we speak. And so that's what Michael's experiencing out there, is the great falling away. He's actually seeing it in as it's happening, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, Tim, I preached at a meeting the other day. I wasn't invited, but I did. And I preached my heart. I just shared a deep, passionate burden of the heart of the Lord to draw that people to in a deeper place. And I've never seen such a blank look on everybody's face. People during the meeting, both during the so-called worship, they were texting one another and getting emails and texting back and forth. And even while I was preaching, and when I got done, everybody looked at me like I came from Mars. You know, it was like, you know, what is this? Give me a cookie and leave me alone. You know, I don't know. It was just amazing.
Do you feel like a foreigner?
A real foreigner. Yeah, I guess I was.
One thing, now you know how Jesus felt amongst the people.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Well, it's not going to get any better until the Lord starts putting the fear of God upon those apostate churches. Woe unto those shepherds that are leading people astray. Praise the Lord. Okay, anybody? Go ahead, Michael.
Well, I just was going to say that we just came to a place where we're fully convinced that the only way that this generation is going to wake up is with crisis, absolute, total crisis, as we all know, is coming. Down here, I haven't seen one person that has any concept that difficult times are ahead or that crisis is coming. They have not even one of them has an inkling of it.
That's what's sad right there. There's a lot of people like that. They don't think we're in the end times, and you know, and all hell's breaking loose all around us. Go ahead, Slay.
I was just going to say, this is the first time I've heard Michael Montana. His voice, you can hear disappointment in his voice. Not discouragement, but yeah, maybe a little discouragement, but mainly disappointment. Because normally he's really high up, fired and everything, but he sounds like he's hurt, is what he sounds like to me.
Absolutely.
I think I'm grieved, just grieved, because I see a lot of very dear people, and they just they haven't got any ears to hear. I mean, zero. So far, we found one brother that has ears to hear, and his wife possibly, and I'm going to get together with them again, and then we're going out. We're going to head for another part of the state here. But in our own lives, I feel like the Lord is calling us to embrace the cross as much as possible right now. To choose the lower road, you know, with the true brethren, to take the lower road, to serve, to be poured out, to lay your life down. And I believe that's the highest thing we can do right now for one another, is to seek the honor of God and to take the lowest road possible in our dealings with our brethren, to allow ourselves to be the servant of all as much as possible. The interesting thing, the Last Supper, when the Lord Jesus, his last time, when he so longed to spend this time with the disciples, when they're arguing about who's going to be the greatest, he takes a towel and serves and washes their feet and serves them. And when Paul told the Ephesian church in the 20th chapter of Acts, the last time, he said, "You're going to see my face no more." And as he walked off, the last words he said, "And remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, that it is more blessed to give than to receive." And brethren, right now there's a terrible storm coming, and God gives grace to the humble, but resists the proud. and to the merciful, God will show himself merciful, and especially dealing with the brethren. Take the low road, be the servant of all as much as possible. Love your brothers, allow yourself to be spent for the welfare of the beloved Church of God, and I think you'll be in a hidden place in this day ahead.
Amen. Take the low road. Let humility take over. Humbleness. He said to walk like him. That's the way he walked. All right. Anybody else like to share or anything about the prayer life or what's going on in your life? What's the Lord showing you?
Hey, Michael. This is Mike Green. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Michael.
I had been thinking here lately for about the last 2 years. I've been doing some Bible studies about some of the more difficult and hard to understand chapters and verses that I've always found in the Bible, the kind of stuff that we look at and kind of read and pass over. And, you know, I kind of saw myself after reading the Bible my whole life not really looking at those kind of passages closely enough or taking the time to study them. So like I say, for the last 2 years, I've been doing that, and I've written down a series of my own Bible studies, and I thought it would might be nice on the conference call here that maybe we discuss some of the Bible stories and verses maybe once a week or so. And I thought I'd come on and, you know, kind of give an overview of what I want to do. And, you know, maybe start giving some of these Bible studies, not me teaching, but basically opening some things up for a discussion. I've kind of been looking at each story and writing down the study, looking at four different kinds of things. Number one, looking at the word itself, understanding the story and how it relates to Bible history. Number two, looking at the application of the types in the story to the time that Jesus walked on the earth. Number three, the application of the story, the types in the story to the end times. And number four, the application of the story to the individual's spiritual struggle. And I know I think a lot of us are kind of looking at, we're kind of doing and reading the same things, and so I thought it might be good to bring up some of these stories for discussion. The first one that I suggest doing is looking at Abraham, his entire story, Genesis 11 to 25, as a picture of receiving the promises, growing in faith, obedience, and end-time judgment. And I thought maybe if everybody... or if anybody that cares to, you don't have to start reading Abraham, and maybe we can discuss it in the upcoming weeks. I wanted to start with a summary tonight, and then maybe next time I'd start with the first chapter. The summary would start by saying that I think that Abraham, in a way, was a type for God and Jesus, and that he was called a great father, father of a multitude. He was the physical father of the Jews and the spiritual father of all the saved, which is pretty much what Jesus says in the New Testament about Abraham. I'm pretty sure there's probably a deep teaching somewhere about how important Abraham was in God's plan, because Abraham was the person that kind of kicks the whole thing off in terms of showing faith and having the obedience to have the willingness to sacrifice his own son, which kind of foreshadowed the sacrifice of Jesus. This is what David says about Abraham in Hidden Manna. He says, Abraham was born from Babylon, and having left Lot in the sin cities of the plain, went through his wilderness to the heavenly promised land, which the Lord gave him as an inheritance and type of the first throne experience. He returned from the promised land to deliver Lot, a citizen of Sodom, who had been taken captive by the king, which is a type of the man-child delivering the saints from the world, who will have been taken by the 10 king beasts of Revelation. After delivering Lot, he went to the heavenly promised land and saw Melchizedek and the king's veil. For this Melchizedek, the king of Salem, priest of God Most High, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom Abraham divided a tenth part of all, being first by interpretation king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, albeit a priest continually. This clearly makes Melchizedek a type of Jesus, who after receiving his new body is totally born from above and has no earthly genealogy. In type, Abraham, as the man-child, went to see the Lord in his third throne experience. So what I came up with was basically an overview to start with for the study of how Abraham is a type for the end-time man-child, and these are the points that bring that up. Abraham comes out of Babylon and out of Egypt into the promised land. His sister bride was temporarily taken by a worldly king, but returned to him by God. He separated from Lot, who was the worldly believer, like the worldly church. He returns to the promised land to deliver Lot, who is like the nominal or carnal Christians that David just talked about, who have rebelled in the midst of the tribulation and are in the 10-king world system. He is considered righteous for believing the promises. The covenant made with Abraham by God was made by God alone when Abraham was put to sleep, and God made the covenant. Abraham received the revelation of his own sinfulness at that time and his need for total reliance on God. He is told to cut off the old man after 8 days. He is given a time frame for the return of Jesus, the angels that came to visit him to tell him when the birth of his spiritual descendant, Isaac, was going to be. When Sodom was destroyed, after Lot and his daughters were removed, the picture of the worldly church, that was the morning of the third day. The bride was taken again by a worldly king, but was delivered, and that obedient king was healed by God. Isaac, as the church was born, the pride and mocking of the bondwoman, Hagar, is like the legalist and the word religion people. The mocking of her and her son caused her to be cast out. That's like the worldly church. And finally, Abraham makes a covenant with Abimelech. That name means my father is king over water rights at Beersheba, which is translated as the well of the sevenfold oath. And as we all know, seven is the number for spiritual perfection. I'll stop there tonight, and next time I'll pick up at Genesis 11. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks. Yeah. So anybody who wants to chime in as I'm talking, just stop me if you've got a revelation on any part of a study or a chapter as I get going. Come on in and, speak your peace.
Amen. Amen. Sound like a good study. All right. Anybody else? Anybody got any comments on what Mike was sharing there? Or Michael Montana.
Am I able to speak?
Well, of course you are.
Michael Montana is in California.
Yeah, he's in San Francisco or the Bay Area, he said.
Oh, I don't find that coincidental, because yesterday I was looking at a ministry in California, and something about it just kind of interested me, and they have the pastor of the church has books on Amazon. But then I saw a review by somebody who left their hometown and went to this school in California, and they were saying that the first 2 months they were ecstatic, so happy, but then they started seeing the manifestations that were not true to the Bible. And you know, listening to the doctrine. By this time, they were living in a, you know, in the house with different members that came from the church, and the person was going through this discourse about how they finally got out of that situation. But now the person now has a website, and he was just warning other people about these movements, how the church is very big, it's very influential, so other churches in the surrounding areas are now coming under the influence of this so-called move of God, which is a compromised doctrine. And so he was just giving a breakdown how different doctrines come out of the New Age movement and out of metaphysical belief systems and Buddhism. So I never really looked at it that way, but when I read the person's review and went to the person's website, he gave a list of people that if you really want to hear the gospel, he actually gave the name of David Eels, that's his name, the one that wrote the Man-Child book. That initially, that's how I came into this group anyway, is I went to his website. But he had him on the list of people that you should listen to. And, you know, a lot of people were giving comments about how they have come in contact with so much spiritual abuse in the churches. And, you know, when Michael was speaking, I don't think it's coincidence that when he said he was in the meeting and he was talking and what he was saying was so relevant and sharing the heart of God, and people were very complacent and they just seemed disinterested. That I don't think he said that by mistake, because when I was praying today, I said that earlier, that I felt very grieved for the churches, very grieved because of the compromise, and, you know, very grieved because so many saints are, whether it's through web postings or just people that you come across their path, how they're saying there's so much compromise when they're looking for God. So many of the leaders are compromising or either getting off into some kind of false doctrine, some kind of false anointing or something to that extent, and not really feeding God's people. So I don't know what Michael said, Michael Montana. I'm sorry, I get a little bit nervous when I talk. I guess because I can't see everybody's faces. But what you said, it just really confirmed something that God was speaking to my heart about, you know, being grieved, you know, not a sorrow that we sorrow, you know, like the world sorrows to the point of depression, but just a grief that I feel for the spiritual climate of people in church and the fact that a lot of people don't realize how close we are and how we are just seeing so many of the prophecies come to pass in our days. And that's shocking to me to hear that. You know, I'm not saying this in a high-minded way. I thank God if he allowed me to see that and he allowed others to see that. But it's just shocking to me that people don't see that we're in the last days, that we're so close to the coming of Jesus Christ, even to the point that, you know, you feel fear and trembling. Like, I just feel like I want to get right with God and stay right. And, you know, I just feel like I want to be immersed in the fear of God and have a greater level of humility because I know the coming of the Lord is soon. And I just pray that I would be among the remnant of people that will be saved, not just born again saved, but, you know, I just pray that I would be counted, along with my brothers and sisters, to be counted worthy, even stand before God. And I don't know, something about Michael Manson in your heart, I'm sorry if I'm all over the place with what I'm saying. It's hard to express it, but the way your heart, when you were talking, it really, I don't know, it just touched something deep inside of me concerning the Lord and his heart and how he was showing me in my prayer time to continue to pray for the church and even sometimes intercede. And I don't feel that it's my tears. I really feel it's God's tears, because the Lord desires that he will raise up pastors according to his own heart. You know, I don't know what circumstance that will come out of, when it will come, but I know the Word of God says that, and I believe that's God's desires, and I don't believe God is pleased with the apostasy that's going on, you know, the falling away. And I'm just thank God for all of you, you know, sharing so much, because I'm sitting in my house. I don't know what's going on in the church community except for what I hear from on the Internet or from all of you through studying, reading. I may come across something, like I said, I was very interested in that move of God, then I happened to see a negative review, and I didn't want to just go for a negative review, you know, but I did say, let me take time out to read it. And when I read it, it wasn't like the person was being negative because they were trying to find something wrong with that move of God. I mean, with everything they pointed out, it made sense to me that it was just like an overkill and the focus on, and the people could never give biblical explanations of what they were teaching. When something doesn't line up with the Bible, they were like, oh, well, read his book or read this book. You know, it wasn't that like they could back it up with the Bible. So that was like really scary. Like, wow. I don't know if any of you understood a word I said. I feel like I'm all over the place. But anyway, thank you for taking the time to listen.
Yeah, no, it made a lot of sense. The church, like Michael was talking about, is man, it's just really gone down the tubes here just in the last 25 years. When you go ahead.
Oh, excuse me. I was just thinking, I joined this conference call because I'm looking for the fivefold ministry that will perfect the saints. You know, the church doesn't even believe in that anymore. They don't even understand that. And I know you do, and I'm trusting that the people on this call cover the fivefold ministry, so that we're all being perfected. You know, we need to have teachable hearts, and boy, I'm listening because there's so much to learn. But I'm just thankful for the commitment that you have for God to believe 100% of the Bible. So I just wanted to, I had that thought and want to thank you for having a place where the fivefold ministry it has the freedom to operate.
Amen.
Was that the word, did I hear the word Ralph Bell? Was that the man that I heard?
Yeah.
That was quoted?
Yeah, I think it was Rob Bell. Slade reminded me who it was.
Ralph Bell.
No, not Ralph Bell. It's Rob. R-O-B.
Rob Bell. Oh, I see. Okay, there was an evangelist by the name of Ralph Bell that I was just wondering.
No, his name is Rob Bell.
Okay.
He's out of some mega church somewhere. I don't even know where he's from.
Isn't he off-root of Rick Warren's Saddleback Church? That's another one that is doing like this lady was talking about. They get their members in and get them in the first 4 to 8 weeks, you know. And then all of a sudden start changing the theme and everything and all. But Rick Warren's the one that's bringing in Chrislam, you know, where Islam and Christ come together and all. It's pretty good study.
Yeah, well, you know, they've got their problems. Our job is to listen to the Lord and to do everything he tells us to do, and that's to allow him to perfect each and every one of us. And like we were talking about earlier, is to get in the Word, not only that, but to allow God to be on the throne before you early in the morning and allow him to direct what you do that day. And like Tim said earlier, if you do that, you go through a whole lot less headaches during the day. I can guarantee you that. All right, anybody got anything else they'd like to share on that? I'd like to hear some more about how y'all get up in the morning and get with the Lord.
Can I give a light-sided testimony?
Sure.
Anyway, God always, I know he's got a sense of humor, too, but last Thursday night on my way home, I had to stop by a friend's office and sat with him for a little bit, and, you know, we talked about the Lord and everything. But when I left there, my gas light was on, and I said, Lord, I said, I know there's a gas station about 2 miles from here. I said, I just need you to help me get to it. Well, I didn't get 300 yards. My van went dead. I just started laughing. I said, Lord, I said, you said you would take care of me. And I looked over, and in my right front floorboard, I had an empty gallon jug of tea, but it was empty. So I had a gas can, so I I said, okay, Lord, we'll do this. So I got out, locked my van, put the emergency lights on, put my thumb out. It comes by about, well, a total of about 10 to 15 cars just zoom, 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 zoom. Just passed right by me, didn't even look at me or anything. And this is when it was real cold, too. So I looked up and I said, Lord, now you said you would take care of me. And before I even got it out of my mouth, coming the opposite direction from me, going the opposite way, some guy just peels right into the front of my van and stops, rolls his window down, and says, hey, man, do you need some help? And I just looked up and laughed, and I said, thank you, Lord. But I thought he was pretty cool. Well, he let me run out of gas to still, just to show me he's still in control. I thought that was pretty cool.
Amen. All right, anybody else?
Michael, when Michael Montana was sharing about, you know, preaching and getting done and just having blank stares, I just got the, Charlie and I have been talking about the church. Is it's really not a church, it's become a morgue, and it's just full of, you know, dead man's bones, and, you know, the preachers are just morticianers. I mean, they're just, you know, putting these people to death. Spiritual death, and that blank look that Michael got was the rise of the zombies, you know, the walking dead, and they're spiritual dead. And when you preach the true gospel, when you preach the truth, they've never heard anything like that before, and that it's just, and they're just despondent, blank, just, what are you talking about when you bring forth the true gospel? Because they've been listening to a watered-down gospel. They've been listening to Balaam all these years of, you know, ear-tickling, ear-pleasing type messages, trying to fill the pews, and they're not preaching the true gospel in the church. And they're just trying to satisfy the flesh, and there's no truth about Christ in you, the outer man decaying and the inner man coming alive. It's all about feeding the outer man. And, you know, the church is just, you know, it's fallen away and it's dead right now. It's spiritually dead. So that's what was on my heart when Michael was sharing that.
Amen. Got mortician filling them up with embalming fluid.
That's so you can't smell the death.
Yeah. Well, I'm like Michael. It's heartbreaking to watch and see these people accept doctrines that are contrary to what the Word of God says. We've all been in churches before. Most of us have been in churches before that gave out wrong doctrine, but that was because we were growing. And then as we grew along, we figured out, hey, these people don't believe what the Bible says. And then we graduate from there and go on to deeper things in Christ. And but these people are satisfied with what they're doing because it feeds their flesh, and that's what they like. Go ahead, Slade.
No, it's just him. But what Mike was, that grief he's feeling is that, I mean, most of these people have been reprobated and they don't even know it. I mean, the Lord drew them, and they haven't done anything with, you know, with what the Lord, I mean, they haven't run after the Lord. And, you know, a lot of these, you know, the Lord's taken their crown from them and they don't even know it. And, you know, that's where the sadness is. They don't have the fullness of the Word, and they're just, I don't know, that's really where my heart is at, is they're, you know, they're just spiritually dead and they don't even know it. The deceived don't know they're deceived, and the deceivers don't know they're even deceiving. And and when you read what the Word says, I mean, there's all kinds of warnings about these false teachers and the false, I mean, it's all throughout the Word. And then the rebukes of, if you let one of my, you know, little ones astray, you know, you'd be better to have a millstone, you know, wrapped around your neck and thrown into the, you know, the deep. So it's just, it's serious, but nobody's got the fear of the Lord. Nobody takes it serious. It's all about, you know, pleasing the flesh and filling the chairs and getting the tithers in. And it's a sad state.
Well, I've got this picture of Jesus with that lamb in his arm, you know, and he's a God of love. And what they don't realize is the fear of God is to bring you into obedience. And they don't know what that is. And like Michael was talking about, they're just out there running around with blank looks on their faces when somebody does give them the word.
Can I say something more, Michael, or can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
I just was going to say, you know, this, I shared that word somewhat where it's a straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. And it's pretty common theology down here that broad is the way that leads to life, and almost everybody's going to find it. And the thing is, though, the house on the rock, the house on the sand, the doers and the hearers, it's only the vehement testing that reveals them for what they are. And that's what the thing that grieves me the most is that people don't even know there's a storm coming, and spiritually speaking, have no concept of spiritual warfare, have no concept of, they probably don't even believe in demonic forces and other things. And they're literally, it's like, you know, a wolf will eat them up like little defenseless lambs, because they are not warriors. They don't understand the battle we're in or the intensity of the hour we come into. And I'm sorry if I came off. I still have to get my spirit in the right place, because I'm just overwhelmed sometimes with I'm kind of just grieved in my spirit, and I don't want to come across like the brother said, with frustration. I don't want to do that. I apologize to you all.
Oh, please don't apologize. I love it. Just how real you are is really helping me, just hearing the real heart, bringing across the reality of Christ to me, even through the phone, because God is with us. I'm sorry, I may have spoken in somebody else's place.
No, I was just going to say, Michael, what you said is just, it's just really the compassion in you, and the, because I can feel what you feel. I see what you see out there, and it saddens your heart. It's just, you love the people, but you see that they're lost, and they don't even know they're lost. But it's more the compassion in you. There's nothing that, you know, that you said out of frustration. It was more the compassion that was coming out.
I'm just seeing so few that have ears to hear. That's what's amazing to me. I mean, and, you know, I went around the houses in some of these places. They showed me their houses, and they got, almost all of them have big screen TVs in their bedrooms, right, where they can lay in bed and watch big screen TVs. And, you know, it's just a different world. I was just like going, man, I've never seen such an entanglement with the world in my life as the stuff I've seen down in this area, you know. It was in Oregon, too. But
yeah, that TV stuff is everywhere, Mark. Michael, it's I go home, and now I can't wait to get back, because same thing's going on in my house at home back in Arkansas. The TV is the center of their life, and what they don't, and you can tell them all day long, you know, man, y'all are allowing these devils to come into this house through that TV, and it doesn't make any sense to them at all. And they just look at you, like you said, with a blank look.
I told them, I mean, I may have offended. I guess I'm not very tactful maybe with some things. But I told these brothers, I said, I'd rather have a poisonous live viper in my house loose any day of the week than to have one of them in my house.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, Mike, I just let you, I talked to a few brothers in the Lord back in Ohio today, And I called a few guys and that were, you know, pretty strong Christians, you know, when I lived there. And they're in the exact same place. They're all excited because they see the economy's turning around and they've got more work than they can handle. And I mean, just everything is just, you know, just wonderful. And it's all based on income. It's all based on money. It's all based on the economy. And they don't have a clue as far as the storm that's coming. And they're in the exact same place. And my heart went out to them. And that happened to me today. It was like, it's, they don't see it, and they really don't want to see it. So,
yeah, they think that the guy told me if you were in our fellowship, you would get thrown out as a wolf.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Just like
you would interrupt the flow of money, Michael, as most of the people in here would. Go ahead, Tim.
No, I'm just saying, just like the prophets and just like Jesus, they didn't want to hear them. They didn't want to hear the warnings. And if it didn't please their flesh, it was stone them, crucify them, throw them in prison. And it's a type and a shadow of where we're at today. It's no different. And when Christ comes, the church is going to miss them just like they did in his day. Because they're under a different doctrine. They don't know the Lord.
Well, Brother Tim, if you want to be popular, you're hanging out with the wrong crowd.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, as some of you might know, when you go back, if you go back to visit where you came from, people just don't understand. They don't understand why you're such a fanatic, why you believe the way you do, and you try to tell them, well, it's what the Word of God tells us to live like. Well, I just don't believe that. Well, okay, you don't have to. That's all right. And they've already boxed you up and put you in a little corner over there somewhere, some kind of a nutcase. When in fact, go ahead, Michael.
They've been trying to sit me down and going to straighten me out and get this sharp edge off and make it smooth and sweet, you know. So I guess it's not working very well.
I don't think it is. I don't think you're adhering to what they want you to act like when you go into their presence.
We love you, Michael.
Absolutely.
There's something that comes to my mind in this. And I don't remember where it's at, but this verse keeps coming to my mind. Woe unto you when all men speak well of you, for so did the fathers speak of the false prophets. Right?
Would you say that again, Missy? I couldn't understand what you were saying.
Woe unto you when all men speak well of you, for so did your fathers speak of the false prophets. Something to that effect.
Amen.
Hey, can I add two scriptures to that, what she just said?
Sure.
The Lord gave me this first one, but anyway, it's Numbers 31, and it's verse 16. It says, behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. And then in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, it says, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness.
Amen.
You know, I was just thinking, we need to concentrate on growing up in Christ in all things. 100% fruit, you know, is available. And just do what we can, you know, when we're out ministering and whatever. But we just got to keep growing up in Christ and walking his life. This conference call is very comforting because that's what everybody's doing. But we just need to focus on growing up praising the Lord when it's dark. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And that works. And so that's just what I was thinking.
Hey, brothers.
Hey, Sue.
Yeah, I was just, when Brother Tim was talking about people being dead, you know, and stuff, it made me think of Ezekiel, you know, when Ezekiel was to prophesy to the dead bones. And there was something else that came also, you know, how how it's been said that there's going to be a revival. So could it be that that before there can be a revival, they have to be considered like these dead bones? you know what I'm saying?
Michael, are you muted again?
Yeah, I was muted again. I'm sorry. now I lost my train of thought. Oh, the dead bone. Those dead bones. Listen, when this thing starts, there's going to be a lot of devastation. There's going to be a lot of dead people laying around. There's going to be a lot of dreams that are shattered. That these apostate people, there are chosen ones in some of these, in lots of these churches, that they're seeking the Lord. They've just been deceived. And when they, when this shaking comes, when this great shaking comes, that's going to turn them back to the Lord and the Word, and they're going to figure out, hey, this guy's been leading me the wrong way. I need to find out what the true gospel is, and they're going to come running. They're going to come running to the light. They're going to see the people that have the light, the true gospel, and they're going to come running to them. And that's why, like Linda was talking about, that's why it is imperative that we get ready for that time ahead. And Michael was talking about earlier, they don't think that we're in the end times. They don't think that they think that we're in a, and Tim was talking about, they think that everything is okay as far as the dollar goes. I got news for them. Greece is defaulted. And if y'all remember David Wilkerson's prophecy of years ago, once Greece falls, once a European country falls, defaults, that then there'll be a Central America, then Mexico, and then the U.S. We are 98% inflated from what we were when the dollar went off the gold standard. We're 98% less money what that dollar's worth than then. So, in other words, our dollar's worth 2 cents what it was back then. So there's something wrong here with the economy. And if anybody that's got half a brain and one eye can't see that we're headed for trouble the way they're spending money up in Washington, you know, I pray for them. I pray for them. But that's what's going to bring those people that are in those apostate churches out. And that's why God's going to bring the tribulation on, is to shake the church loose from the world. Shake the church loose from the world. And when it gets shook, those that God has chosen, those that really love the Lord, are going to come flying out of there and looking for somebody to tell them the truth.
Amen. So you think that maybe that's Ezekiel 37?
That's those dry bones coming back to life.
That's those dead bones. Like the revival?
Yep.
That's what came to me, and I wasn't sure.
Yeah, that's a revival.
I feel like the Lord's been kind of impressing upon me, you know, not to be so concerned about everything that's going on around me, even like it's been so cold up here. I mean, it's never been this cold before. And it's like he's saying to me that you just have to endure some of these things that are going to happen. And it's not that he's coming against us, but it's that he's trying to wake the people up and shake them, like, you know, like you're saying. And so it's like we kind of have to, I have this sense that we have to go through that along with them, in a sense. We have to suffer somewhat along with what they're doing, what's going to happen to them. I mean, it's like the Lord's going to protect us, but in the same token, like this cold. It's been so cold. And everybody's going through this, you know, this weather. And I was just kind of grumbling when I was shoveling the other day, and that's when all these thoughts were coming up, you know, to endure, you know, and not be concerned about it, but just that he's going to take care of us through it.
Amen. Yeah, don't worry about it. He says it's going to rain on the just and the unjust.
Right, right.
So what we have to do is keep our eyes on the Lord. Once we keep our eyes on the Lord, then, that warmth of the Holy Spirit is going to keep you warm, too.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
And, you know, like what you were saying about your family, you know, going back to your home, I deal with that all the time, every day, every day. I'm the only one that I basically don't hardly watch any TV. And everybody in this house, my family that, you know, has moved in because they don't have a place, they have to deal with that every day. So I get kind of grieved, but I know that they have to see what, you know, I can't speak to them too much about it either because they think that I'm strange too, you know. I just try to be that example. That's the only thing I can do. Keep my life right with the Lord. That's the only thing
Amen.
To keep me going. And
that's right. We have to be a light for the people around us. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else got something they'd like to share on what we've been talking about here? We got to walk that narrow road, don't we?
So, Michael?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is Gaynell. You were talking about, and several people have mentioned, you know, it's just like they are asleep. And I was just reminded of a dream I had several years ago about this really fancy church. The walls were like red velvet, and it was a really large church that had like overflow rooms, but all of the pews were just jam-packed with people, but they were all sitting in the dark and sleeping. And at the very top in the roof, there was like just a little bit of opening, some bright light, and there was like a plank across the top, and there were just a few people walking across the top in the light. And I just thought it is such a picture of so many of the churches. You know, they are jam-packed, but they are asleep, and they're not hearing truth. But when you were speaking about that, it made me think of that dream that I had. And also in that dream, there were coffins down in the front of this church. So there were some dead people also, you know, but they were at the church.
Amen.
So, yeah. Anyway, the conversation made me think of that dream that I had. It's been quite some years ago that I had it, but it really struck me. It's like this is what the Lord sees in the church. They are sleeping, and they are in the dark.
Yeah.
And
I'll tell you something else, Gayno. Like Michael Montana shared earlier, the grief that we heard in his voice, the Lord, just magnify that by 100 million times. That's what the Lord sees too. He sees
right.
that, and he grieves in his heart for these people because they're being led down the wrong road.
Right.
The Lord's heart is heartbroken over it, and that's why he wants to bring this shaking to garner some out of it.
Right.
Praise God. We've all got people. Go ahead, Gunnar.
We do. Well, I was just going to share the way you started out this evening, speaking about, you know, listening to the Lord first thing in the morning. And that is one thing that we do here. We listen to see what he has to tell us. And it is just such a very special time. And it's very humbling to think that he takes the time to talk to us each day. He wants to, and he wants us to take the time to listen. And I just wanted to share that is what we do here, and it is a blessing. And
amen.
Just, you know, it's just to follow what he would have us to do. And so
yeah,
we thank him for his patience with us, because my goodness, I know it takes much patience. Yep. And so, just blessings to you all.
Praise God for God's grace, right?
That's for sure, and yes, for sure. So that was all I wanted to share.
Okay, well, thank you very much. All right, anybody else? I hear somebody trying to talk in there sometime.
Yeah, that was me again. I've got, I just have a comment for Michael Montana. So, Michael, when you leave the wilderness and head into Babylon, the raiment of camel hair and the leather girdle just freaks them out. And they're into the organic honey, but the locusts, that, I mean, you're just, how to win friends and influence people, the locust just freaks them out too, you know, so.
Oh, I can't say I'm eating locusts and wild honey by any stretch. They feed me pretty good, actually, down here, but it's actually, it can be a distraction, I think. But I know that we're supposed to, I know God wants to call, and there's a call goes out, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. I guess I just expected a lot more response than I found. I expected to see just a wholesale in, rejoicing at the word of God and at you know, but don't think so.
Yep.
Hey, brother.
Yeah.
I was just Michael Montana. Oh, Lord Jesus. I just drew a lot. Wait a minute. Oh, Lord. Not to be moved by what you see, not to be moved by what you saw, but that you planted seeds you don't know of. You planted seeds, Mike, you don't know of. I'll tell you, I know, because from my own experience, I've been in places where, you know, if it wasn't for some people coming in, I wouldn't be where I am today. You know what I'm saying? So you planted seeds, and that's what's going to do it. It's going to help those. You know. Amen?
Yeah. I think I'm spoiled because you guys have been who I get to share the word with the most, and you guys receive me as a brother, and so maybe I'm spoiled a little.
Welcome home, Michael.
Yeah.
Well, that's what she said is true. Those that understood what you talked about, and even though they looked apathetic to the word, when the time comes, when the Lord shakes them to the point to where they fear God, they'll remember what you said and they'll seek that out. I'm not saying all of them. I'm saying some of them probably will.
Amen.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else like to share something?
Yeah. Hey, as my sister was just sharing there, Michael there, Montana, I just really felt the Lord impress on me that you did some plowing there. The Lord did some plowing, and that and I heard earlier when you were sharing, as I was really hearing your heart, brother. I was hearing the mourning and the grieving, you know, and I think you were sharing a little bit of the heart of the Lord there. You were partaking of that, and I heard, blessed are they that mourn. And you know the rest, brother. And so I just want to encourage you to keep pressing on, and we're going to be praying that the Lord will water those seeds that were planted.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Amen. I believe that. All right, anybody else? Andrew, what you got? I don't like to put anybody on the spot, so we'll just... Anybody got anything they want to share? I don't want to put anybody on the spot. Hey, Greg. I can do that with him. He's my brother.
How you doing, Michael?
I'm blessed, brother.
Yeah, well, you know, I was just listening, and I guess just one quick little thing. Earlier on, you know, I've been kind of busy recently, you know, just with working and whatnot, and I really haven't spent a lot of time, you know, looking at any news of any kind, and I just took a little bit of time tonight when I got home, and I was looking at a few things, and, excuse me, and I was impressed to watch a video that someone had put out. It was a one of those compilation things of, you know, just changes that are happening. I haven't watched one of those for a while, and you know, the guy kind of went through a number of, you know, different things, earth changes kind of stuff, and, you know, just political stuff, and things going on in society. And the one thing that kind of stood out to me was just did a quick overview of what happened at the Grammys, this last Grammys. And, you know, I don't watch that. I'm sure a lot of people, you know, here, you know, haven't watched it for years. And but I was amazed. I guess I shouldn't say amazed, because I know, you know, every time there's a big event and they have entertainers on, you know, the halftime spots on the Super Bowl and whatnot are, I mean, they're all pretty much the same anymore. And but the entertainment for this Grammys was Madonna, and the show that she put on was just nothing short of a I mean, it was just all out satanic. I mean, it was a satanic ritual. And I just, you know, over and over, everyone's been sharing how they just felt grieved. And that was kind of our discussion here at the house, just about that situation, just, you know, how prevalent that stuff has become in society anymore. I mean, it's so accepted. It's not even, they're not even hiding anything anymore. They're just, you know, the things that are becoming accepted. And, you know, you have to know that there are professing believers all over the country watching that, you know, just have it taped, and they have Grammy parties and, you know, just things like that. And that's just one thing out of, you know, all the other stuff going on. And it was just, it was heart-wrenching just to think that, you know, there's a lot of people watching that that wouldn't even recognize what they're watching. You know, and boy, the Lord is, he's bringing things on in a hurry, you know. Things are changing right before our eyes, you know, the weather to all the political stuff and everything in between. And even, you know, just around here in our daily interactions with people who are believers in various levels or, you know, professing to be believers. And, you know, it's truly amazing when you hear where they're coming from on some of these things. And I really feel grieved for those people myself, you know, for some of those that I've talked to recently here, because I know that it takes a gift, you know, from the Lord to, you know, a gift of, you know, eyes and ears to hear and see and repentance. I mean, he gave that to me. He gave that to all of us. And, you know, I think early on we were talking about praying for those, you know, loved ones and just whoever the Lord puts on our heart to pray for. And we really, really, really need to pray without ceasing, you know, and just be obedient to lift those people up to him when he prompts us or when he puts them in our paths or vice versa. And, you know, because he's using all of that, you know, to draw those ones that he's purposed to come to him out of the world. And, you know, we just really need to stay focused and not be distracted in the things of this world and just stay the course, you know, not be tricked, you know, by circumstances and symptoms and all those things, but, you know, stand on the Word and you know, stay firmly placed in the Word so that we are not drawn off. Anyway, I guess that's all I had to share.
Amen. That's true. That's true. All right. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Hey, Michael. I was just thinking, you know, you should. Many times there's a lot of faith here in the hearts of our brothers and sisters that are gathered here, and so I'd like to pray for the seeds that were planted in hearts down there in the Bay Area, and just believe that God's going to bring forth a harvest in the hearts there. Lord, we praise you, Father. I just thank you so much for sending Michael and Angelica to California, Lord, for such a time as this. And thank you, Lord, for the plowing that was done. I thank you for the work that you did, Lord. And I just I pray, Lord, I ask you that you would water those seeds, Lord, that you would protect and preserve those seeds in the hearts where they have been planted, Lord. And you know those that are yours from the beginning, Father. And you're well able to keep that, Lord, which you've committed to each life there, Father. And Lord, I just get the sense that there are some sitting among so much darkness there, Lord, not really knowing what else to do, but crying out from their hearts, wanting more, desiring more, but they don't even really know how to form the words of what they're feeling inside and what they're seeing around them. So I pray, Lord, that the words that were spoken, that you would give each one understanding, Lord. Open their understanding, Father, to the words that were spoken, Lord, by your Spirit, Father. And send your rain, Lord, upon those dry hearts, Lord. Send your rain, Father, and have mercy upon each one, Lord. And make each one, Lord, into the vessel of glory that you've ordained each one to be, Father, in Jesus' name. For your glory, Lord, for your glory. And I just ask, Lord, for a hedge of protection about Michael and Angie as they travel, Lord, about their vehicle. Keep a hedge of protection about them and bless their travel time, Lord, their communion time with you and each other, Lord, and keep them, Lord, continue to draw them closer to you, Father, as they follow you and desire to be pleasing to you in every way, Lord, and in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Praise
the Lord. I was thinking the scripture, the word will not come back void.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, we just ask and we pray while they're on their trip down there, Lord, that you would run true Christians hungry for the word in their path, Lord, so that he could get something started down there. And bless them, Lord, with true Christians in Jesus' name. Don't let them just see all the bad. Let them come across some good people too. And we praise you, Father, for that. And Lord, we thank you that you're going to protect them the whole way, provide for them the whole way. And we thank you for blessing them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Sounds like the Lord's putting you through a trial there, Michael, you and Angie.
Oh, brother, I've been out of touch, I think, for a while. It's probably been years since I've been down here. And I just was a little in shock, you know, coming straight from the woods to the big city of San Francisco. I couldn't believe what I was looking at.
Amen.
But I thank you, dear brothers, for standing with us. That's precious. Thank you.
Amen. Michael, do you mind closing us out with prayer?
Yes. Hey. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of being called by your name. Thank you that we have fellowship in you, Lord, and that you are the head of this body and we are members one of another. I pray, Lord, for greater reality for every single brother and sister that's in hearing right now and all of them worldwide, Lord, that are truly joined to the head. I pray, Father, for great grace to be upon us all. I pray, Lord, for greater reality. And, Lord, our deepest desire, Lord, is to move with your heartbeat, to be led by your Holy Spirit and to honor you in everything we say, everything we think, everything we do. We don't want to be plated goods or whited sepulchres. We want to be 24 karat all the way through, Lord, that we would have the truth in the inside and the truth on the outside. And I just bless all these dear brothers and sisters in Jesus' name. And I just pray for great grace for all of them in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Good night, everybody.